A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the city of Keltonsea, on the ice-shrouded Woden Isles, a ragtag group of individuals are sent on a covert mission by the halfling Jasper of the Swift Hands. Their task is to sneak aboard the Iron Kraken and retrieve a stone for Kendra Iceblood, which must be found before the ship sails for the glowing isles at dawn. As night falls, Aris, Barb, Rodan, Simeon, and Spud make their way to Chainbreaker's Wharf and quickly spot the rusty, tentacled figurehead of the ship they seek. As the unfamiliar group begin to suss out each other's skill sets, they unconventionally dispatch the guards aboard the ship. And to the background sound of one of the unfortunate souls splashing around in the freezing waters of the dock, the five make their way below decks to explore the Iron Kraken's hold. After first finding two red potions, the ship's log, and an old but seemingly magical hat, the group eventually discover a locked chest under advanced arcane protection. But as the group begin to understand and support each other's talents, they succeed in unlocking the chest and retrieving the stone, which appears to be imbued with all 8 schools of magic. However, before they can make their escape to deliver the stone to Kendra Iceblood, Aris heads to the Iron Kraken's deck to check if the coast is clear.
Rather than coming straight away to join the others, Aris has gone onto deck to like have a quick check to see what the if there is any interest from anybody else outside.
Okay, go ahead and give me a perception check if you'd be so kind, Aris.
Yeah, 15.
Okay, 15. Where once there was one figure, there are more.
All right.
Looking down there, where you saw, where your team spotted earlier that there was a figure, you see one, two more figures looking around. Street slightly further to the north, another figure. Street slightly further to the south, another figure. You count 5 in all.
Just message down to Rodan and Simeon.
Either of you any good at sailing?
Check my proficiencies. No.
While I did come to this island by way of boat, I was waylaid by pirates on my way. I'm afraid sailing vessels is not in my forte. But if it is a trap that we have walked into, let us cling together and quit this place.
Don't know if it's a trap, but there's definitely people waiting for us. Could be tricky to get out.
Then let us have a group decision and decide this thing together. I relate to Barb and Spud. We are seemingly besieged by suspicious individuals outside. We can either fight our way through them, or maybe commandeer the vessel for ourselves and make our escape.
I can't swim, so I vote smashing some people up.
Um,
Actually, that is a point. Did we notice any other way on and off the boat when we approached it? Or is it literally like gangplank, I'm guessing?
It seems that there's a gangplank heading out towards the boat, and that does seem to be the only way on or off that you spotted.
I mean, they're clearly here for the same thing we are. I feel like if we try and sell this thing away, trying to figure it out as we go, they're just going to walk on and we do the fight here. I think we know that they're there. We hit them before they can hit us.
We could also destroy the gangplank and take away their foothold, their way of getting onto the ship from the port.
But then we'll be stuck on the ship.
And we can't swim. Bit like that guard, really.
Have we gone up deck? Can we see this guard? I suddenly feel very concerned.
Are we all together?
Up to you. Have you joined Aris on the deck?
I figure we're still downstairs because we were talking about that.
I thought we were still downstairs. If we all popped up on deck and then everyone saw us on the ship.
So we're not going to look through the trickly magic door. We're going to head upstairs to Aris. Right?
I mean, you never know. It might be a trickle of teleportation. I've heard about that kind of thing.
Shall I have a quick look?
Yeah, have a peek.
Cool. So, Barb, just to double check, which door are you looking through? There's a door through from this room in the stern that you're in. There's a door leading off from that room.
Does that have any magic glare?
Yes, it does. That seems to have a more pronounced magic glare of... I'm going to say necromantic magic. Through that door. The little trickle that you felt earlier through the other door seemed to be enchantment.
I'm no longer detecting magic because I cast Bless and they're both concentration.
Ah, okay.
So I don't see anything.
To be fair, when your detect magic was up earlier, I guess you would have picked up on the schools at that point.
Cool.
So you would have had an idea. You would have had a rough idea of the placement of both. But it's a very fair point.
But
so
I no longer see anything.
Your precise radar is no longer pinging. But you were vaguely aware of an enchantment ping through that door. And thinking back now to where you detected the magic earlier, you probably are thinking the necromantics through the other door.
It seemed to be over there. Yeah.
All right, I'm not one for necromantic magic. It's probably more your wheelhouse, actually.
I kind of am. like not in like a big way, just life and death. It's kind of my jam. I don't feel like I have to do it. I'm quite happy to just go. But if anyone's, I'm game. If anyone else is for having a wee peek,
if you want to take a wee peek,
I'm gonna wee peek. Very quick wee peek.
Okay, you open up the door, you have a very quick wee peek. There appear to be two statues in the room.
I think maybe we should just go.
Describe the statues, please.
I don't know, Sim, if you want to have a look, but I have no way of knowing what's going on anymore.
Yeah, please. Yeah, I have a wee peek. Please describe the statues for me.
So there are a couple of humanoid sort of statues are of fairly resilient looking stone, actually in both remarkably good condition and very well made, seemingly.
That's it? Well. Okay.
Do they look like anything we might know? Can we roll to
Sure, roll a history check if you want.
Sure. That shouldn't matter too much. Vicky.
Natural 20. Yeah, I've got to
I love that.
Natural 20 history check.
Wow.
You are 100% confident you do not know what these two statues are.
Wow. Not know that. What that is.
They don't seem to be of anyone famous or anyone from storybooks.
Wait, a natural 20 doesn't tell you what they are.
No, it tells her with 100% confidence she doesn't know what the statues are of.
Oh my gosh.
If it's not too weird,
she knows that she
know.
Doesn't know what they are. She knows they're statues of two things. Of two people.
That's
very
amazing.
Well carved.
I think let's go.
I'm a foreigner. I rolled a 16. Anything? if it's very not from El Tempier?
Very well carved people. One appears to be. They both appear to be elven, in fact, figures in the statue. Go on. With a natural 20 and a 16. The clothes on them are old-fashioned, so they're the people depicted in them are clearly from some long ago time. They're not in modern fashion at all. Mm-hmm. I guess it's the equivalent of looking at like a ancient Greek statue, but unlike looking at an ancient Greek statue, they're in very good condition, so they look newly carved rather than a faded statue. What's the word?
If I'm being honest, I thought if it was something we could take or use, it would have been handy. But
and did he say there was some necromantic magic coming from this thing?
Barb, earlier there was vague necromantic magic in the vicinity, but if your detect magic ain't up anymore, is Simeon yours up?
No, because I cast mage armor, it's not there.
Cool. So Barb was aware of that roughly in the area was necromantic.
How big are they?
They're the size of an elf. Each of them.
Oh, wow.
Were you thinking of taking one?
Yes! Still take them.
Don't mind me.
I mean, the quality of the carvings here, are they insanely lifelike?
Mm. That's probably a reasonable description if you're looking at them.
That's interesting. I think Rodan wouldn't know that, though. Don't worry.
I don't like it.
Aris is just going to message.
Yeah, are we making a move? What's happening here, guys?
We were looking at statues.
Bringing them to life.
Can anyone do that?
Is it part of the stone? Do you have the stone?
I do have the stone, but I don't...
Do you want me to touch this statue with the stone?
No, I mean, do you have it? Can we go?
Yes, I have it. We should go.
How are we making our way off the ship? Are we going in blazer glory? Or are we stealthing our way off the ship to be, not confrontational?
I love the imagery of us trying to stealth down a gangplank.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I can't swim, so I suppose that's the most sneaky way we could get off the boat. I cannot do that.
Sorry, Ben. The bow of the boat faces the docks.
No. So the ship is sort of aside the docks. Okay. So the port side of the ship is sort of running alongside the docks.
Interesting.
But it's sort of separated a little bit from the docks. I guess there's some sort of wooden posts to stop it banging into the side of the dock.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Well, I'm just.
Do we want to blast through the side of this boat?
Well, I mean that is a pretty loud way of doing it. I was going to ask if there, again in character voice, I was going to ask: are there windows down on this level? Are there any areas that we could slip through?
Yeah, there's thinking back, there's a window. There was a window near the chest that you got the stone.
And that's right in the stern.
Right in the very stern, where the ship's sort of beginning to bend.
All right, and how far down to the water, roughly?
I guess from where you are currently, because you've sort of gone down to get into that, you get the impression it's probably only sort of 6-7 feet or so above the waterline, maybe.
I'm going to say to the others, they're clearly here for the stone, right? So what if I go out this way, stealthy light, stay out of sight, and then if anything goes wrong, I can just scarper, or we got flanking option.
Oh, so you just scarper with the stone and take all the money?
Well, if you all die, then yeah.
That sound right to me.
What if we all scarper through the window?
Well, this one can't swim.
No. We can climb along the side of the ship. I've got this throat. I do genuinely have, right?
So Aris is just slowly going to make his way over to everybody else whilst they're having this conversation. Poke his head around whatever door and be like, come on, That's it.
Yeah, I think it's time to move.
If you can give me a minute, I might be able to disable all of these foes and make it easier for us to sneak past.
Ooh.
I mean, all right.
DM, how far away are all of these five people that I've seen in the shadows?
They are, so there's a couple who are definitely, so like I say, there was sort of a group of three. Mm-hmm. You rolled a 15, didn't you? Mm-hmm. So there were a group of three. They're the nearest of the three. They're in a sort of slightly split up, but in an alley, you would guess about 30 foot or so away from the gangplank.
Mm-hmm.
The other two are separated a little bit further, one sort of much more near the bow of the ship, one much more towards the stern of the ship. So those two are probably from the gangplank, are a good 40, 50 foot away, maybe 40 foot.
In which case, Aris is going to say, well, I can deal with at least three of them fairly quickly. But there's two a little bit further back that we might have to push past.
I'm pretty pushy when I want to be.
Well, I say we get it. We've got the stone. We do a little bit of setup and then we run.
Fine.
Okay.
Plan.
Aris is going to get to as close to the edge of the gangplank that he can be, that he can see those three.
Yeah.
Without being seen by them. So he's got like a good enough... I mean, he assumes that they're like keeping an eye on the boat and stuff anyway. But he's just going
to... be watching the boat.
But he's just going to sort of pull out one of his gloves, starts... loosening three of the strings, then from a different pocket pull out a small gear, like tie it into one of the strings, and as he sort of snaps it back, the gear disappears, and he does that three times. Takes about 6 seconds for each one, and from everybody else's perspective, three small gears just very faintly appear above each of the three targets.
Oh, that's cool.
Whoa. Yeah.
And then he just says, tell me when we're ready.
We're ready, right?
Yeah. As he says this, Simeon will open his hand and a blade of shadow will appear in his hand. It's a one-handed magical weapon. It is the spell Shadow Blade, and he'll just have it ready in his hand.
And yeah, I think Rodan looks at that. He's like, there's an intense like curiosity and like slight puzzlement over his face when he looks at that, and then he just looks away and he pulls out his own dagger.
That's not an off. This is an off.
Spud preps a javelin.
Bob pulls out a spiritual weapon knife with a mark of Tuvir on.
Ooh, war spiritual okay. weapon knife.
Yeah, it sort of looks like a sort of a rusty, knifey scalpel.
So, traps, you're going to trigger them.
Yeah, it's a reaction, and I can do two.
It's a reaction.
As one reaction, and then I'll have to do a second reaction in 6 seconds' time.
Okay, cool, got you. So, with the traps in place, the five of you prepare. What's the plan? Are you just making a run for it, and Aris is going to set off the traps as it all kicks off? What's the thinking?
That is the plan?
Yeah, it's fine.
In which case,
go on my signal.
As the five of you begin to prepare, and the five shadowed figures seem to tense as if they're expecting something, let's go ahead and roll initiative.
Yeah,
let's see what order this all happens in. 25 to 20.
Lol.
20 to 15.
Oh my god,
guys, no. What happened? 15 to 10.
11.
Wow.
Did I roll
is
highest?
That, 11. Is that our highest?
The highest we've got is 11.
I need to redo how I've done my list, you guys. So, okay.
Oh, I did not think I would be going first.
Okay, Bard's so. Going 11. So 10
Eight.
To
5?
Eight.
8.
Wow.
Wait.
Oh, my goodness me. Who has the highest dex out of everyone, please?
Not me.
I'm guessing me.
I've got a 2.
15.
4.
Minus 1.
14.
2. So, Rodan... Then Aris.
Spud.
No, sorry, yeah, then Spud, then Aris.
Spud, did you say you had a 15?
Oh, yeah, I got 15. So plus 2.
Yeah, I've only got a 14.
Cool, perfect. So Rodan,
Spud.
8. Okay, so as you begin to prepare to attack, you see that the three figures who are clustered together, the one who seems to be taking the lead of those two kind of goes, right, okay, get him!
As soon as they start to move, I'd like to use my reaction to activate two of the gears, which are in like 5 foot spaces above them, to spin violently, start glowing, so that they explode in little flashes down upon the two people below them.
So of those three people, which two are you targeting?
There's a group of three that I set the things above.
Yep.
The two furthest forward.
Okay, cool.
So yep. I'll set those two off first. They both need to make constitution saving throws.
Okay.
First of all, they both take 6 points of fire damage, and then they need to make constitution saving throws or become blinded for 1 minute.
Whoa.
You are listening to a David Knight homebrew subclass.
Yes.
If anybody would like to try out the Trapper Ranger subclass,
I do.
Please check out our Patreon. That's where it's going to be.
Okay, so sorry, say that again. So how much damage?
So 6 points of fire damage each, as the trap goes off in a burning blast of light.
Yeah.
And then con saves from both of them.
One rolled a 13, and the other rolled a 15.
Ah, so my spell save is a 13, which I think means
they save.
I think they are both save.
Both. Okay.
Damn it.
It's all right. One still.
Oh, one's still active. Yeah.
Got a gear.
Singed.
And they're singed. They got a little bit of damage.
Yeah, it's definitely done some damage to both of them. Okay, is that it?
Yeah, just that's
that reaction.
It.
Okay, so you see three of them start pegging it towards you from where they are. Being as they are about 40 feet away, they are going to peg it right up. They don't quite want to get onto the gangplank. They seem to be deciding to hang back just at the edge of the gangplank, ready to pounce. Okay, and then the other two from the shadows on the other two sides start. So they are going to stay in the shadows from where they are, and they are going to fire a crossbow each. They are going to fire towards the person who just set off a whole load of traps in their face, to start with.
How did they know?
At disadvantage, because they're far away. That's a 6.
That does not hit.
And who else was near the front of the gangplank? Who else was sort of leading the way? I'm just volunteering someone to stand in the fire.
I like to think I was hiding.
Okay.
I imagine I would have been there at the ready with my javelin.
Spud, you volunteered. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for disadvantage for you. That's an 8. No, a 10 to hit. I rolled a natural 20 and a 6. That is them done. So it is Bob.
So they're like hanging out at the end of the gangplank.
So
they're
basically, there seem to be two of them lurking in the shadow still, the two that were further away. Three of them have rushed up towards the edge of the gangplank.
The geary three.
Weapons. The geary three have rushed up towards
so
the gangplank.
So we've got to get past them to get off this ship, right?
Yeah. Unless you've got.
Okay, so I have my spiritual weapon. So what I am going to do is blowgun. a needle towards, let's say, the left-hand side. No, the middle fella. And
the one who shouted instructions, or the one who...
Yeah, the one who seems to be in charge.
Cool, cool.
Why not? And blow needle, casting... Well, no, the vial in this particular needle, it has sacred flame in it, so it's like a fiery medicine. And they must succeed in a dexterity saving throw, please.
Okay. They rolled a 15.
Yeah, it just goes past their head and lands in the wall.
Sorry.
But then as a bonus action, my spiritual weapon is going to fly towards the same person.
Okay, so make an attack roll, I think.
It is an attack roll, yes.
Go for it.
14.
Just misses as your spiritual weapon reaches out towards this the guy who seems to be in charge of them. Unfortunately, it just whisks past him.
For salt's sake!
Hefty orc sort of stepping out the way just at the last moment as it swings past. Okay, anything else, Bob?
Nope, she just does in world swearing.
Okay, so next up is Rodan.
Am I hidden? I don't know if I said whether I'd hide, but you would.
Yeah, go and roll a stealth check to see if you were hidden.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm happy to have this as my cunning action, if we want to do it that way.
Because... everyone else prepped something. Okay. I'm willing to say that you hid as you were preparing.
Prep my body in a hidden position.
Yeah. That's cool. It's depending on how well you hid, of course.
That's a 4, which makes that a 12. But wait, I'm proficient. I'm going to spend a psionic die to try and make this good. And get a 5! So that is 17.
Okay, cool. You're feeling fairly confident in your hiding.
Okay, from my hidden position, I look over at Simeon and the psychic shadow blade that he's holding in his hand, and there's just like a really wish I had one of those moments. And then anyone who would be looking would notice that Rodan's eyes, like, they flash this like purpley blue color, and just like, and then they stay that same shade, and they kind of like move in my house between like purple and blues, and the dagger that is in his hand has a purple like sheen around it that just seems to glow, and he's gonna pop up and he's gonna just like sling the first blade down, and then he looks to his left hand and another blade appears in that hand, same like shimmering thing, and he's gonna use his bonus action to launch that one as well.
Whoa.
Cool. And who are you launching them at, Sivri, please?
I'm gonna go for the same one that that Barb just went for.
Cool. The kind of the hefty orc who's
trying to take down the leader, yeah.
Seems to be in charge. Mm. Go for it.
So first attack is with advantage. Come on, please. That is a 12 plus 6, 18.
18 hits.
Yes, sneak attack. It goes straight into his head. And all the damage that is done with this, he doesn't feel in his body, but it racks his mind. As he takes... Wow, that's a lot of crap. 3, 8, 6. That is 10 for the first strike. Awful. And then the bonus action attack. He rolled an 8, which is a 14, which I think misses.
14 just sails past him. Yeah, he just
sees
that one. taking the...
No worries. But he's like, oh, that was cool.
Did you roll your bless on those?
I didn't do bless.
Yeah, you got bless.
I felt like I needed to say it because I should have used bless, but it just missed him on my turn.
Okay, yeah. The 14. 16?
16 just hits.
Yes, yeah. Okay, amazing. Right, okay. So the second attack is just a d4 damage, and that is 5.
Woo!
5 more psychic damage.
Wow, okay. Wow.
Normally does so much more.
Okay, so the blades both find their mark and sink into this bandit captain. And he looks aggrieved, angry, looks over at you. Fantastic. Redden, you doing anything else?
I am going to use my movement to pop down out of sight. I can't stealth because I've used my bonus action, but I'm going to crab walk along the edge of the ship to another position.
The four of you watch Rodan crab walk over to another position in the boat.
As far as I can go in 6 seconds.
Spud, you're up.
Okay, they've all been throwing their stuff at this one person. I'll throw my stuff at them as well. Oh, natural 20.
Yeah. Roll me some crit damage, so double your dice or roll your dice twice.
13 points of piercing damage.
Nice. Okay. So, you were hitting him? You were throwing?
Javelin.
Javelin. This javelin finds its mark, and this orc who seems to be in charge cries out in pain. He's definitely starting to look a bit hurt. Okay. Spud, you doing anything else?
If I bonus action rage now, will it still stay up in time? Because I've caused damage this round.
I think so. I'm looking at Vicky because Vicky knows Barbones.
What's that? I was doing a private DM to Sam about WandaVision because I didn't want to do spoilers for anyone who hadn't watched it. I'm really sorry. I was just explaining to Sam that's why I DM'd him.
I see.
I'm so sorry. What? Sorry?
So,
retcon?
Am I allowed to bonus action after having done an action? Bonus action rage? Or should I have done it at the beginning?
Oh, is the raging your bonus action for that go? I don't know.
I think it's fine to use it now. I'm assuming as long as
I always
your...
feel like as a fight starts when I play my barbarian, I'm like, I'm raging.
Yeah,
I meant to do that and I just got carried away with rolling straight away.
Rage now. I'm going to say as long as you attack or get hit during your next turn, we're all good. It will stay up.
Cool.
So as long as you're planning on attacking on your next
brilliant.
Turn.
Brilliant. Yeah, I was just so hyped at like landing my javelin that I'm just like happy rage. Yeah!
Amazing. Spud delightfully rages. And we move on to Aris, and then Simeon, you're going to be next.
So Aris is going to... am I right in thinking that there's now a group of people at the end of the gangplank? Is that right?
Yeah, there's basically a huddle of three stood pretty much at the bottom of the gangplank waiting for someone to come down.
Three gears in a triangle? Or just...
Oh, here we go.
Arguably.
Like...
Here we go.
If the gears were in fact an orc, angry-looking halfling, and a human, then yeah.
I would like to pull a small bag of... it's like a small brown pouch. Tie that around one of the strings on my hand, like pull that back and snap the string so that the pouch disappears. And can I place it in a spot that's within 5 feet of all three of the...
Yeah, sure, I'm going to say yeah, because they've all gathered right at the bottom. So, yeah, sure.
Cool, yeah. So, like, it just sort of appears in a space on the floor near all three of them. The remaining cog that I've got going, is there anybody within 30 feet of that?
Yeah, I'd say the rearmost of the three would just be within 30 feet.
We'll say the halfling, if they're within range of the cog. I would like to start... emitting like a ting noise from it to draw his attention. It just goes like ding 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 on this cog. And can he make a wisdom saving throw, please?
He rolled a natural one.
Oh, rolled a natural one. Okay, cool. So the sort of the illusionary sound that I'm making come out. So the illusionary ting that's sort of like emitting out, they're now compelled to move towards it.
Okay. So they have to do that on their next turn, to move towards it?
Yep, any movement that they have to move toward the trap's illusion and into the trap space. Obviously, the trap is currently suspended in the air, so they won't be able to get to that point, but like they've got to move as close as they can to it. And they can repeat the saving throw at the end of each of their
turns. And
they
can't take any other actions, I'm assuming, other than...
They can take other actions, they just have to use their movement to move towards the sound.
Anything else, Aris?
No, that's all I've got. That's my action by bonus action. Just going to get ready. We're not running out just yet until there's a clearer path. So I'm going to hunker down where we are.
Nice. Okay, so gather near the top of the thing. And with that, we come on to Simeon.
Then Simeon will let out a low snarl and say, "The battle is joined and my blood is running hot." And... with a low snarl out of his mouth, charge down the gangplank.
Amazing.
To slash him with the shadow sword.
Amazing. Roll an attack.
Oh no. That's a 10.
Unfortunately, in your excitement to join the fray, you just doesn't find its mark, unfortunately.
That's fine.
Sees you coming from about 50 feet away from the gangplank and has plenty of time to just be like, well, okay.
Yeah. As a bonus action, he will use Daunting Roar. So I can use it on any creatures within 10 feet of me. So instead of... I'll choose not to... However, a roar chooses not to hit someone that's in front of them. Not the halfling that's under the trap, but the other two.
Okay.
So they have to make a con save of at least 12.
Cool. So the captain made a 13. And the other one rolled a natural 16, so plus one 17.
Oh well.
Feel the roar and just seems to
they feel the roar
inspire He's them roaring. Further.
Tony the Tiger.
Yeah, they ponder whether they had their breakfast that morning or not. And feel inspired that they did.
Oh my gosh.
Anything else, Simeon?
Yeah. No, okay. That's it. He's going to have to hold his ground there.
Cool. So Simeon is holding his ground down at the bottom of this ramp. He's now engaged with the captain there, the other two nearby. So it is then their turn. So the halfling is going to head towards the bell. So they start making their way towards the bell. And they're allowed to still do something else? So
yeah,
are they allowed
to
then...
actions, bonus actions. They just have to use their movement to...
Okay. So they'll use their full movement, which is a halfling, I'm going to say, 25 feet.
As soon as they're within range, I'd like to use my reaction to trigger both the cog and the poison trap, the pouch that's next to the
other. Go for it, please.
Cool. So those at the poison trap take 6 points of poison damage and need to make a constitution saving throw.
Well, one of them won't because they drop down to the floor. unconscious at your feet at that point.
The other one, the captain, however, yep, so they'll take them. Make a, sorry, con save. Natural 20, I'm afraid.
Wow, this guy's rolling well.
So yeah, this this like puff of, basically I've like pulled the string that it was attached to on my hand through magical means, and it sort of like the pouch opens up to emit this like puff of noxious gases. But yeah, I've got one of them, did not get the other one. But the halfling that sort of run over to the cog again, I pull a different string, the cog starts spinning until it like is burning bright and then bursts in a little flash of light. They take 3 points of fire damage and need to make a con save.
Con save from him. That is a 10.
10, whee! So they are blinded for the next minute.
Oh, okay.
They can repeat the saving throw at the end of each of their turns.
Okay.
But obviously they no longer need to move toward that trap because it's gone.
Oh, that trap's gone, so they don't need to move towards it now. So, okay, yeah, so they're
but they are blind.
Blinded. They are panicking. In a blind panic, they're just going to fire their crossbow towards where they think you last were. So I'm going to roll this with disadvantage because they can't see anything. So they're just having a wild stab in the dark. That is a 7, so that just flies off into the distance somewhere. And you feel you just hear an owl from a voice in the water. About 60 foot off to the south. Looking over, there's a guard who is floating on some flotsam and jetsam that he's found, who now has a porcupine-like crossbow sticking out of their backside.
Well, at least we didn't do it. We're not accountable.
Yeah. Yeah, if that helps you sleep at night, Sam. So that is the bandits done. So then the captain is going to, in a rage, is going to attack the only person in front of him, who is, I believe, Simeon.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh. So he's going to slash out twice. He pulls out a scimitar from... he's already pulled out a scimitar and goes towards you, slashing towards you with a natural 2 for a 7 to hit.
Missed.
And then he slashes again with a 17 to hit.
No matter what I do, that would definitely hit me.
I feel really sad, Daryl, that you're being attacked by a scimitar. It's like, you know...
A delicious poetic irony about it.
Yeah.
That is 4 points of slashing damage.
That's fine.
And then he reaches forwards with his dagger and slashes again with an 18.
What? Yes.
And does, 6 points of piercing damage.
Okay, fine. That's half my health.
Oh, God.
Okay. Seeing that,
Bob starts fingering the sort of the more curing vials.
The two figures in the shadow are going to start emerging from the shadows from where they are, making their way towards them to get into range so that they can both fire their hand crossbow. One is going to fire towards the angry, delightful looking, happy barbarian who is starting to rage on the boat. With a natural 3 for... It doesn't even matter, that's not going to hit. And then the other one is going to aim towards this ranger who seems to be causing all the damage with the traps with a natural 4, so I'm guessing 9 is not going to hit you. An 8, sorry.
No, not at all.
Okay, that is then done. And we are back on to Bob.
Bob is going to repeat what she did before and just try and get this done. So she's going to... I keep wanting to say blowtorch. She's going to blowgun a needle with another sacred flame at the orc dude.
Fabulous. Saving throw? What type of saving throw? Sorry, just...
Dex saving throw, please.
Dex. Ooh, 16. Oh, sorry. 18, sorry.
Again, it blows right past their head. And then her magical spiritual weapon is going to go for the same person. With a 19 to hit.
Ooh, yeah, that defo hits.
I didn't even need to use my bless. So 5.
5, nice, okay.
5 damage.
Whack, this spiritual weapon whacks into him. What's the spiritual weapon look like? Just
It's like quite a big, rusty, used, scalpel-y knife.
Oh, okay, this nasty, rusty-looking knife just smashes into this orc. He does not look pleased.
I think it goes like... Nose, mouth, chin, chest.
Bob, are you doing anything else after you've smashed this person with your giant magical
stuff? I'm going to smile.
Perfect. And with that, we move on to Rodan. Spud, you're on deck.
literally.
Okay, our Leonin friend is right next to this big guy.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't like the look of that. Spellcaster in trouble. I'm going to whip out another one of my my psychic blades, and I'm going to take an attack at him with advantage because he's being flanked. Da-da-da-da. Okay, that is a natural one and a natural three.
Oh, yes. So
unfortunately, those are going to miss.
Oh, yep.
No. So I'm going to whip out the bonus action one and go for the same thing again. That's better. That's a dirty 20.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. So I do the normal. I can do sneak attack damage, but it's a d4 as well. Okay. Come on, something good this time. That's better. 11 damage on that one.
Oof. Okay, he takes the hit and he does not look good at this point. Like, he's just been smashed in the face with a giant magical rusty scalpel. This psionic blade has landed in him. He's looking bad.
And I send a message to Aris saying, like, say psychically in my head, take him down now.
Sorry, so with that, Spud.
Okay, so seeing our Leonin friend get attacked as well, it's given me pause for thought. And out come the claws, form of beast, which is my subclass that I chose in level 3. So basically each of my hands transform into a claw, which I can use as a weapon if it's empty. So I have got a shield in one hand, but I can use the other hand as a claw. It deals 1d6 plus 2 slashing damage, and once on each turn when you attack with a claw using the attack action, you can make one additional claw attack as part of the same action. So basically, hey, I'm going to do two slashes of my claws.
At the orc?
Yeah, the one that's causing the most ruckus.
Cool. Yeah. So you rush down the ramp and launch into the fray against this orc.
Okay, so that is 4 plus raging, so that is 18 to hit.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll
go barbarian.
I'll roll the damage for that one, which is okay. That's 4 points of damage for the first one, and then seeing as that worked, I'm going to do another slash right across the belly this time. Wow. Oh, but I think I've just tickled the belly with a That's an 8 to hit.
No, I'm afraid, yeah, as you say, he's looking bad, but he just manages to move out the way just at that moment, almost as he's going over from that first hit. It takes him just out of your range for your second. So as you're doing your attacks, you also use it as an opportunity to get off the gangplank and just plant your feet on the dock. You're still in combat with him, but you're unsure now. Nice. Cool. With that, Aris, you are up, and Simeon.
So Aris is going to run forward so that he is in the space of this last orc. Well, not the last orc, this bandit captain. But again, try and like edge round so that he's not blocking the gangplank for anyone else. He's going to shout back, "It's time to run!" And looking over at the two crossbow-wielding bandits, he's going to cast Sleep on one of them.
Okay, go for it.
He's just going to start muttering like a little tune under his breath. I rolled 23 hit points.
Wow.
It's close.
This.
So I don't know how much they've got. But
looks like they want a nap, but shaking it off, they focus back on where they're aiming with their crossbow and stay up. Neither of those two have taken any damage, so they are, I'm afraid.
No, I know. I was sort of punting that it'd be a high enough number.
Yeah, it was close. It was close.
But I'm in. Yeah, I've got to stay where I am and stay in contact space with
the main orc. But yeah. Fabulous. Simeon, you are.
Yeah, I'm just going to swipe him with the Shadow Blade.
Nice.
Please, dice gods.
with me and Spud there, is Simeon.
Oh, yeah. I'll say you're flanking.
Does he get flanking?
Yeah. It's basically this orc is by himself at this point, so you could easily get yourself into a flanking position.
Because it was the exact same roll as last time. And that's worse.
oh, no.
So it was a 10.
Unfortunately. You reach forward with a shadow blade and it just doesn't seem to quite find its mark. This orc seems to be fighting for his last breaths and is dodging and weaving with every instinctive survival instinct in his body.
I heard RSA to run, right?
Yeah.
What's behind the orc? Like, where are the two crossbow guys?
So the two crossbows are off to sort of both sides of you. They're about 30 or so feet away at this point. And in front of you is the passageway that the other three were hiding in that leads somewhere into the city.
Then I will say, message received, and misty step.
Whoa!
30 feet beyond, towards the alleyway.
Fantastic. So you can move, what, 30 feet?
30 feet.
Amazing. So Simeon appears 30 feet in the alleyway. Are you using your movement as well to move further, or...?
I'll take the full range of movement to, like, just carry on running.
Perfect. Simeon is out of there, gang. and with that, it is back to their turn. The bandit captain is now in combat, I believe, with Aris and Spud at this point. Assessing the amount of damage that Aris seems to have been doling out, he's going to first of all swing towards Aris with a scimitar for a... 17.
17 to hit. Does hit.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is going to be 6 points of slashing damage. That's awesome. And then he's going to go for it again, I'm afraid, with a natural 20. Ouch.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so sorry. It's a natural 20.
Okay.
That is, it's not too bad. That's 9 points of slashing damage.
Okay.
And then feeling pretty confident with the work he's done, he's then going to turn out and reach with his dagger towards Spud and give a stab towards Spud. Bloody hell, guys. I rolled a natural 17. I'm so sorry. That is a 22 to hit Spud.
That hits Spud.
For 7 points of piercing damage. Oh, yeah. Raging.
Yeah, because I'm raging.
Raging.
After
3 points of piercing damage.
Yes.
The two crossbow-wielding hooded figures are then going to... I don't think they're going to be able to see Simeon anymore. Where was Barb at this point?
She's still back on the boat, isn't she?
With me at the moment.
Okay. So taking that into account, one of them is going to fire towards Aris and one towards Spud. Aris, that is a natural 7 for an 11.
Does
and
not
Spud,
hit.
That is a natural 3 for a 7.
That does not hit.
Yeah, they did terrible there. They shot and they missed. They then both look a bit panicked and a bit unsure about what to do. They edge back about 5, 10 feet or so, each of them, just to... sort of hedging their bets a little bit on that one. That is them done. And oh, the bandit is no longer blinded, so is going to, seeing the boss in the middle of the fray, is going to run towards the two of you. And let's go for Aris. So that is going to be running towards, pulling out here their scimitar for a natural 2 for 5 to hit you.
Misses.
Nope. This little halfling just swings towards you with a scimitar wildly and just, it does not find its mark. That is them done.
Get away
done.
From me.
We are back to the start of you guys. So, Barb, you're up first.
Who is still standing? What's going on at the end of the gangplank? Lots has happened.
Lots has happened. So Simeon has just teleported about 30 feet away and then started running, yeah. Saying basically he's getting out.
I mean, just enemies. Who's there?
Enemies?
Who's there?
So
to
there's a captain. The sort of the captain of the group still is up, looking very seriously injured.
I'm gonna. Another vile needle of sacred flame.
Okay, cool. That is a dex save. Con save?
Yeah.
Dex save. That's a 7.
Yay!
No, sorry, that's a 9. That's a 9, but still. No.
That's fine. At least I get to use this one.
Yeah.
Burn him up.
6 damage.
Yep, perfect. As you fire your sacred flame through your blow dart towards him, this orc just erupts in flames and screaming out, just collapses to the floor.
Yes.
Gone.
Yeah.
That's what we were.
Yeah. Orc down.
So then there's a halfling still left?
There's a halfling up, still in combat with Aris and Spud. There's two hooded figures with crossbows out, looking a little uncertain.
No, she's going to go straight for the one who's like kicking off with the rusty scalpel.
Go for it.
12.
Just hit.
No, 11. Oh, 11 to hit.
11 does not hit.
But it's okay because I'm going to use my bless.
You will hit.
So that's 2 more.
You hit.
To hit. which is 4, 5, 6, 7 damage.
7 damage. Okay, this halfling does not look happy at all. They're looking grievously injured, but they're still just about up on their feet. Anything else? Otherwise, Rodan, you're up.
Quick mental message to the guys, like, the halfling or the crossbow guys?
Halfling.
Find the halfling!
Find the halfling.
Oh no, the orc's back.
In which case, yeah, since they're flanking him at the moment, I'll whip out a psychic blade and I will attempt to hit that guy with a 17.
Yeah, for the halfling.
Yeah.
Yeah, hits.
Amazing. That's stink deck. That's more like it. 11 plus 3. That is 18 damage.
I'm pleased to report 18 is more than the one hit point that they had left.
One hit point.
So you finish this halfling off with your attack there.
They did.
They're gone.
Amazing. Okay, I
am going
to...
In fact, with an 18, they are permanent dead. They're not coming back.
Oh, God. Oh. They just dropped into some kind of, like, psychic realm.
Yeah. Yeah. You see them shudder and just stop and
just
fall.
Brain hemorrhage and fall over. Amazing.
Blood, a little trickle of blood just comes out of their nostril.
I'm going to take off down the gangplank. I'm going to use my action to run down there. Am I at that point within... No, not my action. Sorry, I'm just going to run down there with my movement speed. Mm-hmm. The crossbow guys, are they within 60 feet of the position that we're at?
Yeah.
In which case, I'll use my bonus action to fling another psychic blade out at them.
Cool.
Whichever one is closest, I reckon.
Yep. Cool. Go for it.
No. That's a 10.
Cool. No, misses. Sales pass.
Cool.
Cowering in fear, they dodge out the way still. Doing anything else right then?
I can't. I've used everything, I think.
Fab. Spud, you're up. Aris,
okay.
You're on deck.
Okay, there's just one person left, isn't there?
Two. So there's two hooded figures with crossbows out. Each, at this point, probably... They've backed up a little bit, so they're probably 20 or so feet each from the gangplank in two different directions.
Okay, I'm going to go for the one... So I'm on the... on the dock, aren't I? And they're on the boat, are they?
Nope, they're also both on the dock. One to your south, one to your north.
Okay, I'm going to go for the one to my south with my javelin.
Go for it.
Wait a minute, can I do that with my claws still out? I probably can't, can I?
A claw can definitely hold a javelin.
Yeah, of course.
You know what you're doing.
Okay.
You've done this before.
17 to hit.
Hell yes, that hits. It's definitely...
Yay!
Damage?
Oh yeah, damage. This is doing too much math. My brain stopped. 3 points of damage.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Every little counts.
Yep. This javelin flinks in. You slightly misjudge where their cloak and where their body is, and so it doesn't land with quite as much force as you were hoping, but it does find its mark. Fab, Spud,
to
you doing anything else?
Simeon from earlier. Oh, but a pause.
Beautiful. Is that everything, Spud?
Yeah. Just ready.
Cool. You stand ready, claws out. Aris, you're up. Simeon, you're on deck.
Turning to the opposite one, from the one that Spud just attacked, I'm going to quickly pull another cog, wind it around a bit of string, pull it back so that it disappears, and appears in a space directly in front of this of the other crossbow bandit. And then I'm going to straight away use my reaction to trigger it.
Oh, okay.
Rather than waiting until next turn, I'm just going to use my reaction now.
You can't wait for Christmas. You just want your presents now.
Yeah, exactly. So it takes 3 points of fire damage as it explodes in its face, this sort of like whirring phosphorus cog, and then needs to make a just 3 points, and then needs to make a constitution saving throw or become blinded.
Nope. That is a fail on the con, I imagine, unless your con is...
They are blinded for a minute then.
Okay. Do they get to save against it?
Yeah, at the end of each of their turns.
Cool. Okay.
So, and then with my movement, I'm just going to start running after Simeon.
And with that, Simeon, you're up. You're 60 feet away from the action at this point, heading towards the city.
Sure. As I'm running, I still see that people are casting spells behind me and like still doing damage. And I'll chuck a firebolt at the one that just had a trap explode in his face.
Go for it. I'm going to say, because you're sort of around a corner a little
bit. Oh, gosh, can I come back?
Yeah, you can. If you want to use a little bit of movement, then I'll go for it without. But if you want to stay from where you are, I'm going to give him a little bit of cover.
Yeah, I'll come back around.
Cool. Can you come back around? So just a straight roll, then.
That is a 70 to hit.
Yeah, definitely. This is the blinded one, yep. And go ahead and roll me some damage.
And it is... That is 6 points of fire damage.
Yeah. So blinded and
I just
and
needed
panicking.
To hit something.
This fire lands in him and he does not look impressed at all. He is panicking.
Did attack rolls have advantage against them?
Okay, roll again in case you get a natural 20.
Nope.
Cool, good to know.
He's a 16.
So it is then their turn. The one who is still up is just is going to look panicked and fire towards... who's still near the...
I'm just sort of at the top of the gangplank. But you can just go for me.
Rodan and Spud are at the end, the like shore side of the gangplank.
Yeah.
And then Aris and Simeon are further ahead, about 30 feet at least.
Okay, hang on, let me see. Between Rodan. Okay, so it's going to fire towards Rodan. So just a... let's just see if this hits. Natural 11 plus. That's 15 to hit you, Rodan.
That misses.
Oh, okay, so this crossbow bolt flies past.
Of course.
The other one who's been blinded and hit and is in all sorts is just going to start desperately trying to back away from where they think everything's going on. I'm going to roll a d4 to see which way they go. Okay, they start walking towards actually the way that Simeon and co were heading. So he's heading that way. He's just in a panic trying to figure it out. So he gets to make a saving throw at the end of his turn. Nope.
Yes. Cool.
Just bumping into things.
Yep. He's just clattering his way towards the city. Not got a clue what's going on. Okay. And with that, we're back to the start of you guys. So, Barb, you're up. Rodan, you're on deck.
Hooded figures.
Yep.
How far away from me are they? If I'm just sort of on deck by the gangplank, but not on it.
So you're still on deck. So there's one which is probably about 30 feet or so away from you. The other one's sort of heading towards the city now, sort of bumbling in a slow way, but it's probably more like 45 feet away.
Cool. The one that's still there, I'm going to take a different vial to blowgun needle. And it's... I'm going to... Blowgun needle sounds so weird, but I'm going to do... Yeah, I'm going to do that with this time as the... If the needle hits them, they need to make a wisdom saving throw. It's got like a dirty green liquid that makes them hear this like horrible bell and they take necrotic damage, so they're diseased and dying.
Nice.
Well, we'll see. Wisdom saving throw, please.
Wisdom saving throw? That's a natural 16 plus 2, that's a 18.
So that just flies past and embeds itself in the same wall as the other two that missed earlier on.
That wall is feeling very ill.
Yep, but then the rusty scalpel is going to haunt the... are they sort of 20 feet away from the dead orc?
Yep.
Rusty scalp just flails in the air. Because I got a natural 3.
Good to know. Okay, with that, we are on to Rodan. Spud, you're on deck.
Okay, where's the blind one?
Wandering around sort of vaguely towards the passageway that that Simeon run down. But not really, just sort of crashing into bins and things at this point.
And the other one?
The other one is about 15, 20 feet away from the bottom of the gangplank.
Okay, so he's kind of coming towards us, or is he running away?
He's looked a bit uncertain and stepped about 5 foot back on his last turn, I think.
Okay, I feel like the blind one is probably going to be easier to take down, so I'm going to spin around. Are there any like crates or anything like that near me?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. There's some crates and things being loaded on ships and things. A couple of barrels.
Cool. I'm going to spin round and duck behind one of these crates and attempt to hide with my cunning action.
From the blind person?
No, from the other person.
Oh, okay.
From the guy that's like 15, 20 feet away.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Yep. Yeah, do I need to make a stealth check?
Yes.
Okay.
They can see and are aware of what's going on, yes.
Yep, so that is a 19.
Yeah, fair enough. You feel like you're probably pretty hidden.
Yeah, I do like a couple of ducky things, so he knows where I am, but he doesn't know which side of the crate I'm going to pop out.
He seems to be distracted by suddenly realising that there's someone sort of floating around in the sea and wondering what's going on with it.
Okay, in which case I'm going to spin out the other side with a psychic blade and take my advantage shot at him.
Go for it.
Oh, God. No, that is a 11 with advantage.
Yeah, sadly, just miss it.
Yeah.
Are you still blessed?
I was too busy dancing.
Are you still blessed?
I am blessed. I am blessed. Okay.
Actually, that's a point. Barb, have you taken damage? Barb, no.
No.
No. Cool. Yep.
Amazingly, no. I'm just so blessed.
What did I say it was?
11.
11. 13.
Hits.
Yes!
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, 12 damage.
12, ooh, nasty.
Psychic.
Okay, this hooded figure looks aggrieved, unhappy,
not loving life right now.
And then I'm going to try and distract him by using the rest of my movement speed to try and catch up with Simeon and Aris.
Go for it. So you start running after the two of them. Spud, you're up. Aris, you're on deck.
I am gonna run at the non-blinded hooded figure and try and slash at them with my claw.
Go for it.
14 to hit.
Hits.
Yay!
Run some damage.
Okay. That is 5 points of damage. And then okay. I'm going to do another swipe with my claw.
Go for it.
Oh, 13.
Hits.
Oh, okay. Oh, hello. 8 points of damage. Ooh.
And with that, the this hooded figure just collapses to the floor, out cold from that.
Nice one.
Are you doing anything else, Spud?
One, Spud.
Let's get out of here, Bob.
Sounds good to me.
So you start running for the corridor, the where the guards are gone. Aris.
With everyone sort of like heading on over, there's just the blinded guy left, isn't it?
Correct. Mm-hmm. There is one hooded figure left wandering around, crashing into crates currently.
Cool. In which case, I am going to pull on one of my strings again, or the strings across my hands. And as I pull it out, I draw it into a triangular motion, which then the triangle disappears and the string snaps back to my hand. And as the guy is sort of stumbling, like a triangle of string appears on the floor in front of him. Ooh. And I'm gonna use my reaction to trigger it straight away again. So they take 2 points of slashing damage as this triangle erupts into like a spiral of razor-edged wire. Ooh. And they have to make a dexterity saving throw or become restrained.
Blinded, do they have to roll at disadvantage or anything, just to double check?
Ooh, that is a good question. Yep, they're still blinded. They don't have to roll disadvantage with dex checks and things. So I assume like he might hear it or something.
Okay, yep, so he rolled a 17.
So essentially, I can imagine that he's just stumbling slightly out of the way and this sort of like spiral of wire just vanishes off into the
ether. He didn't even know that it happened.
Yeah. But with that, Aris is just going to sort of do a quick check of everybody following and start booking it down the alleyway.
Okay. So, I think everyone has started booking it down the alleyway at this point, haven't they?
I haven't officially, but I that will be the next thing that I do if that's...
Barb, on your next turn, are you intending to book it down the alley?
I am intending to book it down the alley, yeah.
I will assume that you are out of combat, leaving one poor remaining hooded figure as you run for it. Just as you head off, all of you roll a quick perception check for me.
17.
17.
Natural 1.
3.
4.
Okay, so Aris and Barb, one thing that you do just notice on as you're heading past the charred remains earlier of the orc, you do just notice a hex tattoo on the neck of the orc. You just spotted that on your way through, and the five of you book it through the corridor and head up back into the main city. I'm going to say, given the reasons of timing that we're on currently and how long that this is, that the six of you, five of you, successfully make your way through, heading to where that you know that that Kendra Iceblood's house is located in the city. Arriving at the door, I assume you knock on the door or something of that.
No, we kick it down.
You kick it down.
Spud!
In you go, Spud.
So a few moments pass and a slightly bleary-eyed servant answers the door. Who goes, yes?
I think we've got something.
We're delivering a stone.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, right, okay. Yep, I was told that I was going to be on its way. I believe payment is due. 100 gold, was it? Is that right?
Yeah.
Each.
You're very funny there.
I'm not being funny.
All right. Okay. Well, you wait there 1 second. The halfling housekeeper heads inside for a moment. Beckons you in to sort of wait in the sort of the porch area, just sort of inside the house. Having a quick chance to look around sort of in the interior of the house as you do just sort of notice that it's a quite upmarket house that you're in now. Quite a lot of
nice ornamentation. Also quite a few sort of birds in cages and sort of things around in the place, most of whom seem to be asleep at this time of night. A few moments pass, the halfling comes back and goes, right, okay, so 100 gold and the stone, if you'd be so kind.
I have a feeling this might be worth a little bit more than 100 gold. Don't you guys?
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Seems to me like we might have something very interesting. I can think of a number of buyers just off the top of my head that might want something like this.
Well, that's all well and good. I believe a price was agreed with your bosses. If you want me to go and have another little word with them about you not delivering on your promises, that's entirely up to you. But that's the price that has been agreed. That is my understanding of the arrangement. And if you have disagreements with the arrangement, you can take it up with Grieber.
Touché. Did we sign anything?
Do we know Grieber?
Yeah, Grieber's the... You know Grieber. She's the half-orc boss in charge of the Swift Hands.
Cool.
Famous for her short temper and her strong arm approach to leadership.
Cool.
100 gold is fine.
You see, we can all part as friends. I knew we could. So, 100 gold. I believe the mistress, I will make sure that she knows what a good job you've done and what a uncomplicated approach to business the five of you have.
Can I quickly make a check to see what this woman does, who she is in society, please?
The boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kendra.
No, don't worry. I rolled a two. Whatever I'm trying to find
okay,
out, I
don't. You don't know much more
out.
Than she's sort of middle ranking.
Cool.
Sort of nobility, such as nobility goes in Woden Isle. Nobility is a slightly questionable kind of thing here, but it's sort of middle ranking. Clearly, looking around the house, even with a two, it's clearly got some cash, got some sort of authority. You're in a fairly upmarket portion of town.
Yeah.
Do they have the gold there in front of us? I'm going to move over to collect it.
I want to send a quick mental message to Aris and be like,
we can get more for this. This thing has all schools of magic on it.
I don't respond. Can I just do a very quick insight check into this housekeeper?
Sure. What are you trying to insight?
Whether or not they're actually a housekeeper, or we've just assumed that as we've walked in.
Because they speak with the housekeeper voice.
Because they've got a West Country accent, because Ben had to invent a housekeeper
exactly.
On the spot and has gone with West Country.
So that is an 18 for insight.
You're pretty confident they're the housekeeper.
Okay. I'm like, all right, this is legit. It's all right.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be subterfuge. They're clearly, with an 18, they're clearly, they're maybe a little more than a housekeeper. They're clearly a trusted member of staff within this building. You know, the fact that they've been left to wait up to do the deal rather than the lady of the house herself doing the deal, they're clearly a trusted member of staff within the household.
Cool.
And they seem to be on the down low.
I'm going to come and...
Just don't trust a lot of people, so...
I'm going to come and pick up my share.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
She passes over a bag of 100
Not
gold.
Having much in the way of charisma, I realise I can't barter my way out of this situation, so... I'll pull the orb out of the pocket, and I'll kind of, like, give the housekeeper, like, a real shitty look and just say, like, it's a tall order for such a small amount of whatever. And I'll pick up my bit of shrapnel.
Your coin. The rest of you collect your coin?
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
So each with 20 extra golds in your pockets or wherever. Assume you're heading out the door?
Mm-hmm.
Aris is very much, business is done. He's out.
Yeah, I think Barb is similar.
So as you make your way towards the door, Aris, if you're the first one, or Barb, the pair of you is the first to the door, a little note has been pushed through the letterbox of the door. Just a small bit of card.
What does it say?
And you're taking the bit of card. You just see, it says on it, impressive. We should talk. And it's signed Zara, and then there's a hex symbol down at the bottom. And I think that's where we'll leave the session.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
Thanks,
well done, Ben.
That was
cool.
Yeah.
Well done,
We're
Ben.
We're not work for the hex.
You have been listening to Ben Galpin as your Dungeon Master, Daryl Bailey as Simeon, David Knight as Aris, Grace Kelly Miller as Spud, Sam Oakes as Rodan, and Vicky Gaskin as Barb. Original music by David Knight. Please tell your friends, subscribe, and follow us on all the social media. Thank you for listening to No Small Roles, Woden Isles. Anon for now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.